This is the tale thus far. Deep in the dune seas of Maya lies Mareel, the last standing city of Mashkala. This is a city of magi and mystics, thieves and cutthroats. A city where the shadows themselves watch your every move. In this place, a band of unlikely adventurers will come together to unearth ancient artifacts, hidden temples, and a plot that threatens the very fabric of reality. A plot beyond the control of the gods above and below is unfolding. In this dark time, a folk story has come to light, and the only hope for the survival of the city and all of creation may be a legendary artifact known as the Crown of Queens.
This would be the first one this game, right?
The first mystery or the first?
The first grand mystery. Because I believe there was a grand mystery solved in Crown of Queens a couple of months back. Or Game of Great Old Ones a couple of months back. Somebody figured something out. Can't remember the exact episode.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was Jim.
I was gonna say, I know Alligan throws so much spaghetti against the walls, it's...
Yeah. No, this is a big one.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Jim said something.
Yeah, this is a big one. I think Jim figured it out. Then he got a permanent boost to his... I want to say it was his wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's big secrets. Like, there's big secrets in Maya. And when players figure out big secrets in Maya, they get ability score bumps. You roll a d6 to figure out which one of your stats it's going to be, and then you roll a d4 and you get that many points for that stat. So, after you finish convulsing, and Ella and Garglin stop puking everywhere, you may keep looking at your piece of paper and ask your next question.
Can I look at the paper through my sword?
Sure.
I look at the paper through my sword.
It is telling you the truth. And what it is telling you is that your concept of time is incorrect.
I look at the bodies through the sword.
They are very decomposed.
Okay.
Do they look the same as they did in real life?
No, they just, I mean, they look the same as they appear currently.
Okay. Oh man, what other question do you want to?
Yeah, I know, I'm...
I'm gonna move away from him because I don't like to vomit.
Right.
So I'm gonna move, ooh, I didn't mean to do that. I'm gonna move further into the room.
Yeah, I'll come along.
I'm just like, nope. I'm moving away from my vomit.
Like a room cat.
Yeah, if there was sand, I would kick it over it.
Silent takes out her water skin and like on the steps past.
Oh, they're two really good questions. But I think what I'm going to ask is, what are you?
What are the answers?
Gender, race, profession, role.
Female, Sirfablin, priest, paladin.
Okay, so we have confirmed. Okay. Yeah, Emmerich stands up and kind of shakes his head out and rolls the piece of parchment he was using back up. And here's another question I as a player have, because it doesn't, again, specify this in the rules of the spell.
It will stay on the page.
It will stay on the page. Oh, goody, goody gumdrops. Oh, and I use the... Oh, no. Oh, I use that piece of paper from the Knight's End. Oh, that doesn't tear or burn. So yeah, he rolls that up nice and tight and like...
Do you want me to hold on to that?
And is shoving it like down into the bottom of this bag of holding.
Because as far as I know, the only paper you had on your sheet was the vellum that you took from the...
Yeah.
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 just really shoving it down the bottom there. And he says, these are, or at least the creature whose blood I found is a Snurfeblin.
Do I know what a Snurfeblin is?
You've heard, like, legends.
Okay.
They are deep gnomes. Very intelligent. Very crafty. In Maya, the Snurfeblin are kind of this really... They're good natured. They're not, like, kind of your cartoonish gnome. They're more stoic. But typically good societies. Brilliant craftsmen, deep explorers. They explore the deep under regions, deep and low the earth, into the hidden oceans, into the hidden mysteries. Kind of the, if space exploration is what we do in the stars, the Snurfeblin do this underground.
Gotcha. But it's not like it. I guess I was trying to assess, like, did he just say it's a unicorn, you know?
No, it's more, he said it's a, Atlantean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's, conceptually, Snurfeblin exist. Finding evidence of a Snurfeblin in Maya is kind of like... not something you're gonna do on a regular basis.
And I don't even mention the other thing that was unveiled.
Cool.
I'm gonna walk to the pool of water that's in the middle of the room and, like, investigate the water. Like, is it still? Is it stagnant? Is it clean? Is it...
How are you investigating?
I'm gonna look at it real hard.
All right. Make a perception check.
Look at it with my peepers.
With my eyeballs.
I'm gonna perceive it. I perceive it 26.
It does not... It appears to be very still. It appears to be crystal clear. It's about 3 feet deep. And there does not appear to be anything in the pool.
So it's like a pool, it's not like a well. It's like contained, I can see the bottom.
Yeah, you can see the bottom.
Guys, I want to touch it.
There's still water in it?
There is water in it.
How the fuck is there still water in it?
Well, there's no dust anywhere in this whole room. It's like, perfect.
But water like evaporates and stuff, you know?
I don't know. I'm not the scientist.
I'll give you 10 gold to touch it.
I want to touch it.
I'll give I'm you not going to touch it.
The last time I did a bad thing, I brought Hanzabar into our world.
I don't know who that is.
I touched the deck of many things. I'm a very curious cat folk. It never ends well.
10 gold.
25.
20.
I touch it.
Okay.
Cool, make a reflex save.
Cat's luck. Once per day, when a cat folk makes a reflex saving throw, she can roll the saving throw twice and take the better result. You must decide to use the ability before you roll the first saving throw.
Okay.
Using the ability. Reflex save. Oh, good. That was such good.
Because the first one was a one.
Such a good use of that.
That was the best possible use of that.
Oh, so 18.
You burn your little kitty paw. But you feel like if you had not made that reflex save, you would have been taking a hellacious amount of damage.
As
the water is clearly like acid.
It's acid water.
Yeah.
I like try to like make it look like it wasn't a big deal, and I walk over to Silent and put my uninjured hand out and ask for my 20 gold.
Silent like looks down at her and is like, All right.
I'm adding 20 gold to my fucking inventory.
Do it.
Taking 20 gold off my
inventory. There you go.
Is this any, I'm like very experienced with poisons, and obviously I took that as my whole druid thing. Mm-hmm. How much do I know about acid, or is this like way outside my wheelhouse?
It almost reacts and feels the same way as a, like a neuropathic poison would feel. The same kind of poison found in a viper's fang.
Would it be possible for me to take one of my jars off of my bandolier and fill it with the acid without touching the acid?
How good your reflex saves.
Sometimes good, sometimes not.
Right, so it would be possible for you to attempt it and make a reflex check and hope that it doesn't fuck up. I can tell you that.
That's fair. I'm gonna tell the group, like, that's not water. It is not for swimming.
No shit.
I'm like, feel like this is where they disposed of the bodies, you know?
They forgot about all these, though.
Well, they left them as a message.
Emerald looks down at the ground, and I'm going to use detect evil.
Yep.
And then I'm going to slowly look up and scan the room.
Okay. All right, you are seeing, it tells you general range, right?
I believe so, as the spell.
There's just pockets of evil in the room?
Yeah, it's a per round. Presence or absence of evil. First round, number of evil auras. In the second round, third round, location of each aura.
There are, can you see through walls?
This is talking about lingering auras. The spell can penetrate barriers, but 1 foot of stone, 1 inch of common metal, a thin sheet of lead, or 3 feet of wood or dirt blocks it.
Okay, then you can't see through these walls.
Okay.
That's fine. Greatest concentration of evil, Garglin's hammer.
Okay.
There are also one where I've drawn the squares on the map. 5 pockets of evil floating about 2 feet off the ground.
Does my demon, does he read as evil?
Yes, demon's evil, but it's not consequential.
Minor evil.
Well, it's a baby.
So I'm going to try to focus on this square to the south of the fountain.
Okay. What are you trying to discern?
If it's like an ongoing effect, if it's something that happened here.
There's an entity in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel if you disturb that area, that entity will possibly substantiate in the prime.
What exactly are you doing, Emmerich? Like, you're walking over and, like, concentrating on a weird spot in the room?
I imagine my eye is illuminating or something.
You're using one of those fucking tweeter boxes that Baggins is using.
Oh, ticket box?
Yeah, ticket box.
I guess I'm like, do I notice that he's, like, staring at a staring into space for no fucking reason? Yeah,
yes, you notice he's staring into space for no fucking reason.
I look into that space through my sword.
Okay, hold on.
I was like, if he's doing something weird, I'm gonna be like, what you looking at, buddy?
You see a, it's essentially a shroud. It has skeletal hands and a skull face. And it looks to be wearing some sort of crown. That looks like it has been nailed into its skull.
Holy shit.
and the crown that has been nailed into its skull, the central spoke, it has 3 spokes, but the central spoke of the crown that runs up the bridge of the nose and the front of the forehead of the skull and then up into like a point, looks like a sort of a perverse version of the, or profane version of the crowns that you saw in the mural, almost as if somebody made a torture device mockery of that sort of headdress. and you can see in Sylvan, hi Sylvan, written down that placard, I defy the Emperor.
I'm gonna like take a step back and jump into another room, apparently, because my character likes to do that. I'm gonna take a step back and be like, holy shit, Emmy, there's like a thing right in front of you, and it has a crown, and he also defied the Emperor. There's more of them in the room.
Oh, you like look through the room?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can see that there are indeed, and they're just kind of floating, and they don't seem to be paying attention to much of anything. They're just sort of there, floating in those spaces.
Can you see it, Emmy?
I cannot see them, but I can see their presence. I believe if we do not disturb where they are, we will be fine. I'm going to strongly recommend we either double back, find another way around, or everyone follows me to the other side of this room.
We could just walk back through this hallway.
That was the first suggestion.
Yes.
Let's walk back. Let's not mess with ghost things.
And they don't seem to be paying us any mind as we're just, like, Emmerich standing right in front of it, and it gives zero fucks.
It seems to not be. It's staring into the middle distance. So it doesn't see. If it is aware of you, you're not aware that it's aware of you.
Okay. Yes, I think we should leave now. Just, you know, and then I leave. I'm gonna go into this hallway that I was peeking into before and mm-hmm. go to the hallway that off of that shoots south.
Okay.
And look that, like, peek around that corner, see what I see.
You see that there is a 15-foot long hallway that opens into a larger room, but down the 15-foot hallway, funny, if you listen to other episodes on the Old Magic Gaming Network, you are familiar with this kind of magic already. Hovering about a foot off the ground are iridescent rune script that seem to be the easiest way to describe them to somebody trying to kind of figure out what the hell they look like is what a laser light looks like when dry ice is introduced to the situation. So you kind of see like a foggy holographic rune floating about a foot off the ground, and there are there's scattered script running the length of the 15-foot hallway.
Okay, so we're all in Jennifer Lopez's Waiting for Tonight music video right now.
Essentially, yeah. Or like Mission Impossible, where he's trying to go through all the fucking laser beams.
Can I tell what it says? They're runes. Do they mean anything to me?
You got any knowledge magical stuff? Knowledge arcane is what I should have asked. Bathroom bench.
18.
18? Yeah, these are... this is definitely necromancy. And it is a warding, it's runes of warding that is keeping something, out. So it is keeping something undead from entering this room.
Okay, so, like, there's probably maybe something undead on the other side of those runes. I turn around and tell the group.
Let me try to explain this again. These runes are keeping something undead from entering this room. So something undead would be on your side trying to enter this room.
Oh, so it's keeping something out, not keeping something contained.
Yes, it is keeping something undead from coming into this room.
Okay. I turn to the group and I tell them that corrected version of knowledge. Okay.
So, like, if a cloaked figure were chasing us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've like That's a good. Safe space. What do you, I mean, they're probably trying to keep it something really cool protected. Maybe we should go see.
Maybe you should go see.
I like that plan.
All right. I check the hallway for traps other than the rooms.
Okay.
Rick's eyes, draws his sword and shield and goes past gargling and silent.
23 check for traps? That's a really low roll for me.
Does not appear to be trapped.
I take a step onto the runes.
Okay, you're standing in the runes.
I turn back and look at the group and like shrug my shoulders and I keep going. I come to the edge of what looks like a wall there and like peek into the greater room.
Okay.
The greater area space, as it were.
And what you see, there's two piles of bones in this room. There also appears to be scrawlings on the wall. Looks like somebody has carved into the wall with stone. Stone on stone, if you will. The piles of bone, one of them is wearing plate armor. It looks incredibly old. The other one, if it was wearing any kind of robes, they have been long lost to the ravages of time.
Do they seem as long dead as the skeletons in the last room?
Yes, and that's all you're getting from a cursory glance. You're gonna have to do a lot, like, in-depth investigation to get more.
I look at the piles of bones through my sword.
Okay. You don't see anything magical or special about them.
Okay. I'm gonna turn back around to the group and be like, there's two piles of bones in here.
And writing on the wall.
I mean, and like writing on the wall and stuff.
Oh, I can do more rubbings.
Oh yeah, you can rub it real good. Can I check this room for traps?
Which room?
The room with the bones in it, or did my check for the hallway count the whole thing?
Counted the whole thing.
Okay. I step into the room.
Okay. You are in the room.
I'm gonna go to this southernmost pile of bones and take a gander at it with my peepers. I'll peep it.
So the first thing you notice is there is some writing on the wall above the pile of bones. You can feel free to read that out loud if you wish.
Take fine flour and good damask water. You must have no other liquor but that. Then talk sweet butter, two or three yolks of eggs, and a good quantity of sugar, and a few cloves and mace, as your cook's mouth shall serve him, and a little saffron and a little God's good, about a spoonful. If you put in too much, they shall arise. Cut them in squares like unto treachers, and prick them well, and let your oven be well swept, and lay them upon the papers, and so set them unto the oven. Do not burn them. If they be 3 or 4 days old, they be better. They be the better.
And
that's
those
what it says. Guys, and it's like a recipe or something?
For the listener at home, that is a 1574 recipe for sugar cookies. Exact spelling and all. But it does have relevance to Maya. We will discover that as we go along.
They want you to put mace in sugar cookies?
That's what it's not the same thing as mace now.
Yeah, and your cook's mouth shall serve him.
Yes.
Saffron. So,
and there's also that sigil above it.
Does this sigil look familiar to me?
Do you have any infernal knowledge?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know how I would know that.
If you don't have knowledge.
Infernal,
then no.
I sure don't.
You
I
would
sure
know.
Don't.
You would know.
You would know. Nope.
Okay.
What language is that written in, I'm sorry?
Helic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's written in Helic.
I'm gonna step into the room after Ella as she disappears into it.
And this recipe is right above this pile of bones?
Yes. And also the only thing that you notice on the pile of bones that looks like it has not weathered or aged is a ring on the index finger on the left hand.
Can I detect magic on it?
Sure.
I detect magic.
It's hella magic.
Can I tell what school it is?
Conjuration.
Can you tell what this ring does? I know that it's magic, but I don't know what it does. Also, cookies.
What?
I'm hoping the ring conjures cookies.
That would be the hope.
Infernal about the emblem over the recipe.
Oh, yeah, it's the sigil of Barbatos.
Barbatos?
Yeah, he's an archdemon. That means he's not a demon lord. That means he rules one of the layers of hell. Like up there with Mephisto. Like, he's an Ozymandias. It is the sigil of Barbatos.
Not the island of Barbados?
No, no.
I was like, okay. it's Barbatos. It's the evil Barbatos.
Yeah, Barbatos.
You said, and was there more carving on the wall?
Yes, I figured that Silent's going to see that because it's over the body she was going to go.
Yeah, I will continue looking at this. At a cursory glance, I can't tell what it is, but given time, I may be able to figure it out.
Silent pokes the northern body with her foot.
It is very dead and in very heavy, very nicely crafted plate armor.
I don't really wear armor, but... And there's more carvings on the wall?
There is. Would you like to see what's carved on the wall?
Sure.
Cool. Feel free to read it out loud. This is not written in 1500s English. Can you guys see it?
Yeah. No one has the accurate spelling of things.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold on. Let me put my glasses on. It's hard to do that with headphones on. I am the last. I will tell the... What is
audit.
That? The audit?
Audent.
Audent void.
Mm-hmm.
The seven seats are vacant once more. Pride has fallen and wrath seeks him in the space between spaces. The throne of stars has been claimed by a shadow of what has been and what is coming. She has planted herself in the heart of our world. Oh, ooh. Ugh. And grows in the deep places once home to the old kingdoms. The north wind sits in the spire of the sea and waits for the war to start. Of course, I had to pick the fucking thing with all of the S words so I could get those real nice, real nice microphone pops. The heart of avarice has stolen the spells of the feather serpents and seeks the old covens in the sea of sand to give rise to the ageless viper. That timeless snake dreams in the heart of the dunes, waiting for the doors to be thrown open, waiting for the endless night to come so he and his endless kingdom can take the prime as their own. The things beyond the stars are a false flag. The nest of vipers are already in this place and preparing a second kingdom for the mother of scale. She will rule below as her twin rules above. A snake in the heavens, a snake in the hells, and a snake in the prime. Find the djinn, find the Loa. The Aboleth have gone to war.
Yep, that's what that says.
Fuck.
At least we'll have cookies.
Silent immediately takes out a piece of paper and starts just... That seems important a little bit. Damn, there's a lot of information in there.
Yeah, there's a whole fuck ton of information in there.
None of it good.
Yeah.
That was like a real bad fortune cookie, man.
Yeah, you got the,
yeah,
the
I
recipe
got actual
for
cookies.
Sugar cookies, and I got fucking... Could I do a... Is this... Would this be like a history?
There's a lot... Odd knowledge checks that can play in here.
Yeah. Can I start with a history?
Sure. We'll take it paragraph by paragraph.
That was a 26.
For the first paragraph?
Yeah.
All right. So the Auden void means like entropy, nothing. So whoever is speaking is talking to nothing. It's talking to the emptiness. Time without time, space without space. What would happen if there was pure entropy? So non-existence. The seven seats are vacant. You're not really entirely sure what that refers to. Pride has fallen and wrath seeks him in the space between spaces. The space between spaces, nothing historically would be there. The Throne of Stars is historically what most sentient religions refer to as the ruling seat of the Silver City, what would be considered the heaven of Maya. So these celestial kingdoms where the archons and archangels and all of those entities dwell, the lawful good entities. So the Throne of Stars is traditionally what manuscripts, illuminated or otherwise, would refer to as that seat of power. And then the old kingdoms would be what would be considered the deep spaces, the spaces hidden or lost. So the kingdoms of the Drow, the kingdoms of the Fae, the kingdoms of the Drugar, the kingdoms of the Mykon, all of the deep dwelling races, the kingdoms of Nerfeblin. Those would be what would be considered old kingdoms. So historically, that's what you would probably draw from that.
Cool. How about religion?
Oh, in the first paragraph?
Yeah.
Space between spaces is typically the beyond, or what is considered the realm of shadow, mm-hmm. or the land of the dead.
Okay.
That would be, and then once again, the Throne of Stars is typically the allegorical seat of the ruling deities in the Silver City.
Let's move on to paragraph 2.
Okay.
So let's make a knowledge. Was it 25?
For history?
Yeah.
There is a rumored space known as the Spire of the Sea. It is in the Northrend Oceans. It is a fabled tower that the very tip of can be seen just outside of the waves of the North Sea. It is rumored that this tower stretches all the way down into the boundless depths to the ocean floor itself. So the kind of the visual is there's this massive construct tower that reaches up from the ocean floor and just barely pokes out of the surface of the water. And this tower is said to house all sorts of things. It's sort of a mythological seven wonders of the world sort of thing. Not a lot of reports about it. Feathered serpents haven't been seen in Maya in ages and ages. So they did exist. Quaddle existed at some point, but no one has seen them in forever. Sea of Sand normally refers to the Dune Sea. So that pretty self-explanatory there. Heart of the Dunes, once again, Dune Sea. So that's pretty much what you get from that.
Heart of Avarice, does that ring any bells to me?
Not with history. Okay. Somebody please tell me you're taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, yeah.
I'm just going to listen to the podcast.
All right, cool. I'm not in the habit of repeating myself, especially because of stuff like this.
I'll leave that for someone else to religion. I'm going to move on to the next paragraph.
You know that a false flag is typically in a historical setting where people would believe that something is going on. Mm-hmm. And it's a misdirection.
Okay.
So to say something is a false flag is to is because they're misdirecting the person recording the historical moment or the group that's following that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Past that, nothing. You wouldn't have gotten anything else.
And we have something about snakes.
That's allegorical.
Yep. Oh, really? I thought it was literal snakes. Let's check that allegory against...
Oh, I'm not telling you shit.
All right. Well, I had to try.
Yeah, I know.
Let's do knowledge, religion, even worse.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. So, as far as the last bit, find the gym, find the Loa, the Aboleth have gone to war. Do I recognize any of those entities?
Jinn are a race that live in the Dune Seas. Mm-hmm. You can pop a knowledge religion, and I'll answer the other two questions depending on what you get.
10.
Loa is typically the name for a god of the dead. Mm-hmm. Past that, Aboleth are they're entities that are spoken of in myths, but nobody really knows much about them with that low of a role.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a lot of information. I'm gonna do my chalk rubbings of this as well, since it's carved in. And then I'll be like, if you guys can find anything out of this, feel free. That's all I got. And I'm just gonna sit down and start writing, like, everything that I retained.
Anybody else want to take a crack at this shit?
Sounds important. Yeah.
Try some religion rolls against the paragraphs.
Okay. Which paragraph?
Paragraph one.
7 seats are vacant. With the mention of pride and wrath, you're going to know that there's 7 deadly sins. So there could be some sort of correlation there. Past that, you're not going to really know much of anything else other than what I've already explained.
In the first paragraph, or?
Yeah, in the first paragraph.
Okay. Let's try paragraph 2. 8.
Okay. For religion?
Yeah.
You know that the North Wind could refer to gluttony? Because the North Wind is constantly hungry. It is the ever-hungering, ever-feeding North Wind. So North Wind could refer to gluttony. The Old Covens in the Sea of Sand. You know that there are rumors that there are ancient covens of hags who have deep caves in the Dune Sea. And what you've experienced in the last couple of weeks, especially with women in white, seem to maybe be pointing to that sort of thing. But that's... also, you think it's weird that there's door iconography based on the strange god reflection sort of cosmology that you saw in that room.
Those were the doors that we didn't see.
I'm not telling you what they were or weren't, but yes, I'm just referring...
Right. But flashing back to what we did see, those were the doors that did not reflect.
Correct.
It looked like they would show up on the walls, but they did not.
Yes.
Okay.
Second Kingdom is typically a term used in religious iconography to refer to something that had existed once and was given existence again.
Snake in heaven, snake in hell, snake in the prime. 31.
Purely allegorical, but it seems that a snake in hell and a snake in heaven, with the twin speech above, seems to give some sort of denotation that there would be two entities sharing the same form or sharing the same powers, structure, abilities, goals, as if you were to clone or have a duplicate of something, and it would be sharing space both in heaven and in hell, but be of two minds with the same purpose.
And then the last, the find the Jinn, find the Loa, Aboleth have gone to war. Oof.
Shit, yeah, you don't know anything.
Okay.
That was a garbage roll.
Yeah, that sucks.
Alright. Anybody else want to take a crack at it?
And Emmerich will lean over and start sharing his notes with Silent as she is writing.
And she'll share what she learned as well.
I didn't mean to do that. I don't have large knowledge in anything, but can I run like a nature roll by the paragraphs and see if anything new pops?
You may indeed.
All right, so let's try the first paragraph. I got a 17.
All right, so the spaces between spaces is a druidic. So A, this looks like it's written by somebody who follows nature laws.
Oh.
Looking at it, you feel a kinship to what you see written. This looks like, as you're looking at it, this looks like the way that you think you should write letters from now on.
Oh, it's like druid speak.
Right, but you don't know what a druid is.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is very much like you feel very much like kindred to what you're looking at. Like this vibe works for you.
All right, I'm into it then.
Yeah, you're really fucking into it.
This is so much better than the recipe for cookies.
I am the last gives you the intonation that this would have been one who, when they say I am the last, they probably meant that they would be the last of their kind. So they speak to entropy or time without time. Because they know that when they die, they will be the last of their kind on this world.
And I feel like it was, and I'm feeling very akin to it. So like maybe this was written by the last druid.
Yes, very much.
Or who thinks they're the last druid.
Or who was the last druid until there were druids again. That's kind of the vibe you get from this.
Okay.
Space between spaces refers to the beyond, the land of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Planted herself in the heart of the world, seems to be intoning the area where the deep roots grow, so from fungus or from the most ancient of trees. So the heart of the world would be the deep spaces below the earth, the lands below the lands, as they would be known. So the kind of the hidden world.
Okay, like where the deep elves and all that stuff would live.
Exactly.
Okay. Very much
so. So that is where the old kingdoms dwell, because that's where those entities came from.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense. So that's what you get from the first paragraph.
Okay, I'm going to roll a nature check on that second paragraph. Ooh, that's a 7.
You are like, this is weird. I mean, you know what the prime is, the prime material plane, but past that, you don't really know much.
Wind is nature, guys.
No.
And then I'm going to try on the third paragraph, 16.
The nest of vipers already in this place and preparing a second kingdom for the Mothers of Scale. Non-metaphorical. It seems like it's speaking to something that is currently happening. The nest of vipers are already in this place.
Am I to take it literally meaning vipers, like snake people? And then that fourth paragraph as well, 10.
Allegorical.
Okay. I share my nature-y learnings with the group.
Don't want to make a roll for that fifth one?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I would love to. I would love to roll a 7.
And you don't know shit.
Yep, that's what I share with the group.
So at this point, I think we just have papers like sprawled out, and Simon's just writing as best as she can on each one.
Gargle, want to take a crack at it?
I'm not sure what I have that I haven't already tried. Let me see.
Go for it. My nature is not high.
Been around a few bars and pubs. I'm sure you've overheard something.
Well, I could try knowledge local. I don't know that that would do any good. Well, dungeoneering.
Do you have planar knowledge?
No. I mean, I guess I could try it with just the bardic knowledge check.
the greatest ability in any role-playing game.
Yeah,
find a way to not say use bardic knowledge.
I was waiting for it, man. I'm like, you literally have the trump card ability.
Maybe there's a way you can check that.
Yeah.
Such an easy way out. All right, I don't. We'll do that here. Oh, that was awful.
Oh, no.
So the first paragraph, you just like, I got no fucking idea what they're talking about.
All right, let's.
Second paragraph. You seem to recall some myth. There was a entity, the Heart of Avarice, in a few songs actually referred to an entity known as the Spell Thief. She was a being of some renown. She was kind of feared by magicians, mages, and anyone who casted or who cast. Beautiful woman. And it was said in a lot of these songs that for a time she was not in this world, but when she returned, she had stolen the most powerful of spells and was seeking her home in the sands. The Heart of Avarice kind of twinges that in your bardic knowledge. Bardic knowledge is the most useful fucking skill in all of fucking role-playing. I don't give a shit who you are. Bardic knowledge is the shit. It is the trump card. He rolled a 12 and got that. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I rolled like a 25. It was told like, yeah, you've seen witches.
All right, so let's move on to the third paragraph then.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Let's get some information.
The 23.
So there has been a lot of, like, you've heard it in pubs, you've heard it in street games, you've heard it in card games, you've heard it murmured in churches. There's always these things coming from beyond the stars, right? There's always this kind of mythological old one kind of lore. That everybody has this great horror that is coming from, you know, space or from the beyond, and it's going to come to Maya, and maybe it'll be the galvanizing thing that all these sentient races of Maya will bind together and rise up and combat these beings that come from beyond the stars. You know, these beings that can literally siphon your brain directly from your skull. And there are great ships that float through the sky. So you've heard a lot about that. This seems to indicate that the threat of those entities that would flay the very minds of your you know, sentient beings. It seems to indicate that those entities are false flags. They're myth. Or they exist, but they are not a threat because there is something far sinister, far more sinister, that already exists in Maya and its connected planes, and it has been lurking in wait, and it is the agents of these vipers, these whatever these twin kingdoms are, the one in heaven and the one in hell. If you will, and then the one that they're preparing for some being to rule in the prime. It seems that those entities maybe are even perpetuating this mythos of these beings from beyond the stars and using the fear of the being from beyond the stars to obfuscate the actual threat that is already here and in our midst.
That's a good plan.
Did you just tell us not to be afraid of aliens?
Sort of.
It's the Illuminati.
Red dress, beta kitten.
The Illithidati.
The Illithidati.
Yeah.
Be worried about the aliens. But be more worried about other things.
Be more worried about snake people.
Lizard people.
It's not the greys you gotta worry about, it's the reptilians.
Yeah, the reptilians.
Like president?
Like Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely a reptilian.
If you can crack this allegory.
Oh, 24.
Getting better as I go.
Yeah.
So as you're looking at the as you're looking at the previous couple of paragraphs, you're like, oh, this makes sense. So if there's an entity, and you're thinking back to that cosmological disk, and you're like, wait. So there's those two twins, or the entity that was missing from your reality, and the entity that was in the mirror reality. And if both of those entities essentially equal the same value of deitetic power, and then one of those entities could dwell within the Silver City, and one of those entities could dwell within the Abyss, then all you would really need is the third entity to dwell within the Prime, and then that would create this sort of triumvirate that the allegory is speaking about. A viper in heaven, a viper in hell, and a viper in the Prime.
That's a bad thing.
It's definitely a thing.
Mm.
Good old Gargling coming through at 0 hour. Look at him. Jinn. So the Jinn are the mythical race of elemental-based entities that live within the dunes. It's kind of rumored that before the jewels of Mashkala, the cities, before they all went into the dome, there was a djinn who actually appeared in the cities, and there was some warring with djinn, but before the warring with the djinn began, there was actually some sort of brokering that was going on. So there is like a djinn kingdom within the dunes somewhere. The Loa are a group of gods of the dead. So it's like the nature-based gods of the dead. And Aboleth are these ancient, beyond kind of elder beings, typically living in aquatic environments. If they were to go to war, it would be earth shaking. So something cosmologically intense would have to be going down for them to have gone to war.
Well, okay then. As I'm reading all this, I'll share the information with the rest of the class.
All right.
Wait, so sorry, the Aboleth are like a mythical race that live in the water?
Yes.
So they're like a kraken?
Kind of. Have you never seen an Aboleth before?
No.
They're fun.
Yeah, Aboleths are cool as fuck. Ancient, sinister race.
Oh, sinister.
Well, ancient... Sinister in the sense that, like, they're these ancient, powerful beings.
Yeah, that we are ants to them.
Yeah, we are fucking nothing. Yeah, and, like, a whale.
Fish monster.
Essentially. And they look different, too. They don't all look like that. Because then there's, like, so there's
okay.
a lot.
So, there's, like, sea monster, but less squiddy. More
yeah,
fishy.
Yeah, less squiddy, more fishy.
Okay. Things like, that live in the deep ocean right now that we just don't know about.
Giant, scary squid monsters.
Yep, 100% that's really
fish monsters, yeah.
Are they really big?
Yeah, Aboleths are fucking massive. Like, they're... The smallest Aboleth is probably the size of a blue whale. So, if the Aboleth had gone to war, something is really going on nature-wise.
Did the djinn find the Loa? So this is basically like, y'all are fucked, find help. And make cookies. Do any of these roles help us to understand why someone would have carved this very important message, seemingly with the same gusto that they have carved a recipe for cookies?
I mean, are you all talking to each other about this?
Yes.
I'll let everybody make an intelligence check.
I am also gonna go to look at the cookie recipe closer.
Okay.
My new intelligence.
Jewelry making? Intelligence?
Intelligence check?
Intelligence check.
Straight up?
Straight up intelligence roll.
20.
I am dumber than shit.
Gargling.
That's all right, Gargling. You can't be like a...
No.
Boss.
Oh, right. So really ran the gamut on those rolls, guys.
Yeah. Emmerich and Ella, I'd like you to consider how one who lives in a library may find the droppings of a rat and the bite marks of a rat on paper, but be unable to find the rat themselves because of the amount of spaces and hidden places that that rat could hide. And knows that the rat might not necessarily prefer cheese, but it might prefer a certain type of fruit or a certain type of bread.
Or a sugar cookie.
So
something in the sugar cookie.
If you give a mouse a sugar cookie.
Well, there was something above the sugar cookie.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Yeah, barber toast.
Let's get a rubbing of that as well.
Literally 3 pages of notes ago, guys.
Yeah, so that's what it looks like.
We're going to have to print this into our sugar cookies, and then that's how we summon barber toast.
You're not off the right trail.
And we're going to... We're taking that ring, the magic ring that we don't 100% know what it does.
I'd like Ella to make a wisdom check.
6.
Okay, it's over 5, so I'm going to ask a basic question. Ella spent the majority of her childhood studying a certain organization.
Mm-hmm.
What was that organization?
Was it the Bakers? Did I just wreck that? Because I just had the same idea and I was waiting to say it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
What makes them so powerful?
I've given you all the tools. Now you have to put them together yourself.
Mr. Police Officer, I gave you all the clues.
I already was smart this episode. I don't want to...
No, I'm just saying.
Do I take the ring or not?
Oh, that's up to you.
What school of magic was the ring again?
Conjuration.
Also, why are they trying to keep dead things out of this room?
Do you want to go back and ask all those dead things?
It really just seems like a good plan.
It's like, let's just talk to them. I'm sure they're fine. Silent, you made friends with the demon. Go make friends with the dead things.
I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Awesome. I mean, you're one for one with making new friends, so.
That's true. I made friends with you guys, and I made friends with these. This little thing. So... Also, you have like 3 seconds before Silent notices that ring and just is like, ooh, a ring, and picks it up.
Yeah, I take the ring.
Okay.
I'm not putting it on, but I'm taking it.
Okay. Make a dex check.
I would love to make a dex check.
Because it doesn't sound like you would.
A dex check or a reflex save?
Reflex save.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Do we still have a
23.
Nice.
Fucking roguey roots right there.
Man, it fits snugly on your index finger.
No, I said I didn't put it on.
Yeah, no. Oh. You said you made a 23 reflex check.
It is.
The reflex check was to not drop the ring. The ring made sure you didn't drop it.
Oh, so now I'm wearing the ring.
Mm-hmm. That's not good.
It's fine. I'm already like bound to this weird sword. Now we have this ring.
Anyone want a possibly cursed suit of armor while we're here?
Nope. You don't see Gardling going around picking shit up.
Does the other body only have the armor on it?
Yeah, the armor's really cool though. As you're looking at it, it looks like the entirety of the plates. Like it's plate armor. And each of the plates of armor seems to have sheet music on it, like carved into it.
Huh.
So it seems to be multitudes of different operas, different like pieces of music that have been collected and forged into a suit of armor.
Oh, crap! Now cool. It is something that I'd be interested in.
I know. Yeah, like, how is Sparkle not already wearing this?
You're a bard, so this is probably your area. You want to take a look?
Yeah, I'll go over and check it out. I mean, it's beyond the description, I guess.
So as you're looking at it, and you're looking at it, what you are noticing as you're looking at this armor is that each of the individual plates has compositions of music on it. And as you're kind of like playing through the different tones and beats in your head, you're like, oh, it's recording. It's a recorded history. It's the sonically recorded history of everything that this armor has encountered.
That's wild.
Well, that's something else. I don't think I can wear it, but I kind of want to take it.
Why don't you think you can wear it?
Well, I'm a bard, and it's plate.
Ah, but it's plate made but for a bard.
Oh, well, that would seem more obvious if it wasn't late. Yeah, I'm gonna take it. I rescind my previous gurgling doesn't pick shit up statement and I pick some shit up.
Saying it as you pick it up.
Yeah, I don't pick up shit, but I'm gonna put this on. It gives you 2 extra bardic spells per day.
Oh, that's so cool.
It is also full plate armor that does not affect your casting. And once per day, you may recall any bit of information that you may have forgotten.
Oh, that'll come in handy.
Yeah.
But it only works for 24-hour cycle.
That's okay. That's still good, because all right.
That's super cool. Do I feel any different now that the ring has put itself on my finger?
Oh, you know instantly what it does.
What does it do?
You can conjure a set of masterwork thieves' tools. You may also conjure anything that you would need in the kitchen to create any confection and or baked good, not including ingredients dry or wet.
Oh, shit.
Oh, so I can conjure like pots and pans, but I can't conjure sugar.
Correct, but you could whisks, cookie cutters, bread knives.
I run out of arrows and I just start throwing whisks at people.
You could make knives.
Yeah,
you could have infinite knives.
I already have infinite. I have a lot of infinite weaponry.
And you immediately gain a +10 cooking proficiency.
Oh, yay.
I gotta start picking up shit more.
And this would be considered an apprentice level baker's ring.
Oh my god, I'm a fucking baker now.
Hey, you fucked yourself with that one, man. Not me.
It's fine. I'm already, like, you know,
got bound to all sorts of other shit.
Thief lords. I'm now the only fucking druid.
We're gonna have a lot of conversations when we get back to the Night's End Garden.
I am a beautiful and unique snowflake, guys.
You're a shit show.
Like, are we like that old woman from the labyrinth who like carries your whole life around on her back?
Weirdly, though, you don't have that much shit. You're just like, you have a few pieces of fairly interesting stuff, but you don't have like that much stuff.
Well, yeah, everything I have is fucked, but.
Yeah, it's true.
So, have I sufficiently taken down notes on everything in this chamber?
Yeah, you feel comfortable that you have sufficiently.
I'm gonna scoop up all my papers and start shoving them in my folio.
Okay.
Then I gotta step out here, peek down this way.
Awesome. Let's reveal the other hallway real quick.
Oh, Clarion's up there. Oh, it's another one of these.
Yeah, there's another ward keeping the dead out.
Jim will be so mad that I got all the baker shit.
Peek in here.
All right.
I'll follow silence.
Sally, go ahead and make a perception check for me. Okay. There's a small pile of bones over here. It seems to have some sort of robe wrapped around, or it seems to be wrapped in a robe. So you step into the room?
Yeah.
Cool. Make a reflex check for me.
Reflex. 24.
Okay, so you dodge it.
Fuck.
I'll just make it really big so you guys can see what it is real quick.
Whoa, what the hell is that?
Okay. That seems fine.
So stepping from the corner shadow behind behind Silent is a horned entity. Its face is very alien. It has these kind of iridescent blue eye holes. Its face is sort of flat. Its body is like a lean humanoid with hooved feet. It has kind of rolls of ethereal, almost shadow-like energy coiling off of its body. It has very long limbs, and its hands end in these four kind of pointed fingers. And it takes a clawed swipe at you. Thing stands probably about 7 feet tall.
Fuck.
And it takes a clawed swipe at you, and that's where we're going to call it a night.
Okay.
So we will pick up next time.
Hey guys, I wandered.
With the party in combat. Thank you for listening. I'm going to stop recording now. I have something prepared for that.
Because I got a new thing that lets me look at shit.
I've had so much shit prepared for you figuring out what your sword does.
Well, I'm dumb, so...
Well, yeah, and also you're player, and you should be allowed to make the choices that you make, so... I'm like...
I feel better. I yelled at a bunch of statues and tried to intimidate them.
You did. Yelled at a bunch of fucking statues.
It's okay, I just touched acid, so...
On a bet, which is even funnier.
Whatever, I made 20 gold.
We're smart adventurers.
Guys, I have a lot of gold. It was totally unnecessary for me to do that for 20 gold. I have like 700
the
gold.
Principle of the thing.
you for listening to Crown of Queens. Emmerich is played by Maddie A. at MG Allen on Twitter. Garglin Yalt is played by Arrow Odd at RPG Home Brewery on Twitter. Graziella is played by Vanessa Singleton at Evil V Cookie on Twitter. Clarion the Unscrutable is played by our Dauphine of Audio at Yoda Jones on Twitter. Silent Nocturne is played by M at GameMaker M on Twitter. Our special guest, the Baron, is played by Matt Garbett at ArtMonkeyMG on Twitter. Our storyteller is Anton at Old Magic Gaming on Twitter.